Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulil karim amma ba'd. Continuing the kitab on beliefs and the chapter of iman and kufr and disbelief. Kufr is of four types. One is kufr al-jahl. Islam and its teachings are denied because of ignorance. Then one is kufr al-juhud. Deliberate kufr due to obstinacy. This is the type of kufr of shaitan as well as that of many Jews and Christians. Then kufr al-shak, kufr occasioned by doubt. The denier doubts the truthfulness of Islam. And the last one is kufr al-ta'wil. A belief or teaching of Islam is distorted or given a meaning other than that explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A few examples are the miracles of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam are given figurative meanings. Number two, mi'raj is interpreted to be a spiritual condition, and the Nabi ﷺ didn't go up physically. Number three, Jannat and Jahannam are said to be spiritual states. Number four, the finality of Nabuwah is rejected by way of interpretation. The Nabi ﷺ is the final Nabi, but after Nabi ﷺ, you get another kind of Nabuwah coming, like Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Khani came, he was a Buruzi Nabi. He was a manifestation of Nabi ﷺ's Nabuwah, na'udhu billah. So they interpreted in the finality of Nabuwah. Number five, metaphoric meanings are attributed to the angels and jinn. So some people say that the angels are not actually angels, but they are like all particles, but we get like negative and positive forces which are moving around. So some are, the angels are the positive forces and the jinnat are the negative forces, according to what scientists say. So they interpret it to give a metaphoric meaning to it. Number six, punishment of the grave is denied by interpretation. Number seven, the claim that wuzu was introduced for rural Arabs and it's not necessary for clean people to be with wudu when performing salah. That now, that was in the past, but in today's time we are very clean people, so we don't need to make wudu. That was for those people because they were living in a dusty areas. So some people have made these interpretations. Number eight, different meanings are tendered for zakat, salat, jihad, etc., which are not the meaning understood by the ummah for the past 1400 years. And hijab and all of these things also today, the different meanings are given. So which wasn't understood by the ummah for the past 1400 years. So these are all kinds of kufr al-ta'wil. There are different levels of it. Sometimes a person loses his iman, and sometimes he's on the brink of kufr and disbelief. So the ulama will give that. There's a lot of detail regarding that. Note, a person will not become a disbeliever if he unintentionally utters words of kufr. It is a major curse, a sin, to curse someone or to address him as, oh kafir, oh disbeliever. It is, however, permissible to make a general statement. Example, may the oppressors be cursed or may the liars be cursed. There is no sin to refer to those individuals who have been cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whose disbelief they have informed us of as, oh, a cursed one, oh kafir, for those, because we got yaqeen and conviction about them. But otherwise, for a normal person, it's a major sin just to curse somebody or to address him as, oh kafir, who regards himself as a believer. Istihza and istighfaf. Istihza means to jest or mock any teaching, belief, concept or advice of Islam. Istighfaf or istihana means to regard lightly or insignificant any affair, teaching, belief of the Sharia. In the famous book of belief, Sirul Aqaid, the following is mentioned. Istihana is kufr, disbelief. Istihana means to regard something as light. And istihza, mockery of the Sharia, is kufr, because these are the signs of rejection of Islam. It is similarly kufr if a person laughs with pleasure at a statement of kufr made by another person. So as it mentions many times that sometimes a person forwards one message to a person and it's making a mock of deen, and we look at it, we smile also, we laugh, and then we send it to somebody else also, we take a joke. As it says, you can joke about many things, but the matters of deen, the person should never ever joke about those things, because that can take a person out of the fold of Islam. إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوذُ وَنَلْعَبِ The kufar, the munafiq said, we were just joking and playing fools. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهَزُونَ Then ask them, O Nabi alayhi salam, are you making a joke of Allah and His Rasul? Then tell them, كَفَرْتُمْ بَعَدِ إِمَانِكُمْ After having outward iman, you have become kafir, you have lost your iman because of istiza, because of making a mock of any part of deen. Every teaching, belief and attitude of Islam is linked with Allah Ta'ala. Hence the beliefs, practices, teachings, places and personalities of Islam are all objects of honor and respect. The slightest amount of disrespect is intolerable. Some people mock and jest with the beard, the miswak, the sunnah method of eating and dressing. Some will find fault in taqdeer. Some will brand Islamic ways as outdated and incompatible with the times. Some makes a mockery of the ahadith and the tafsir of the Qur'an-i Kareem, the accepted tafsir of the Qur'an-i Kareem. By doing so, one destroys his iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him, save us. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, 26 juz was recited, starting off with Suratul Ahqaf. In the surah before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain doubts or certain beliefs. People who used to follow their desires and they made them their gods and they did not believe in the life of the year after. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentions that all of this, there are clear proofs in the world. Allah ta'ala created the heavens and the earth and everything in between them for a purpose and objective. And a person must ponder and think that, why did Allah create me? Have I just come in this world just to pass my time? Or is there an objective? Why did Allah ta'ala create a person? As I mentioned also that if a person is sitting in a car and driving, and you ask him, where are you going? He say, I don't know, I'm just driving. You say, you're a mad person. See, we are driving on our journey of life. But have we made an object of life? What is the object? Why did I come in this world? 30 years, 50 years of our life has passed. We just wake up in the morning, go to work, come back home. But we've got no object. Why have I come in this world? Have we ever sat and thought about it? So let's say we've got an object in this life. وَأَجْلِمْ مُسَمَّى. And for a short while, a specific time only you are going to live in this world. Like the heavens and the earth have been created for a specific time. So ponder and think about these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the proofs of Allah's the oneness and about akhirat and the life of the year after is something so clear that it comes in the kitab also. There are proofs of this. And whatever beliefs you have got, you've got no logical proofs also. And you've got no proofs, narrative proof from the kitabs. Whereas regarding the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, the people of the past, Ahl al-Kitab, they will even tell you that Musa alayhi salam's kitab came down and that another Nabi is supposed to come. So there's a clear sign of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Allah says, so illogical is their beliefs. And then Allah gives a few examples. Like you get two children. One child is the one who is obedient to his parents. His father has given him everything. So he's an obedient child. And one is a child who is disobedient to his parents. He actually doesn't even believe in the existence of his parents. He says, I don't believe I've got parents. So anyone will mock at him and laugh at him. He'll go through problems in life. But a son who is obedient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that obviously a person has to be obedient to his parents. His mother, what difficulty she went over when she was bearing him. And then she gave birth to him with great difficulty. And then for so many months, she was carrying him in her hand. She was breastfeeding him. And then she weaned him off. So many months it took. And now when a person reaches the age of 40 at least, he's supposed to have understood this great bounty. And the beautiful dua of the Quran Sharif, that the person will say at this time, رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَىٰ وَالِدَيْ. Oh Allah, give me the ability to make shukr of the bounties, to thank you for the bounties which you have granted me and my parents. So this is one dua, we make dua, Allah must give us tawfiq to make shukr. Then second dua, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. And oh Allah, give me the ability to do good actions which you are pleased with. So just to do good actions is not sufficient. But after a person does the good actions, Allah must be pleased with it. That's why we have to make dua for acceptance, because no matter how good the action can be, but if Allah is not pleased with it, it's not accepted in the court of, it's rejected in the court of Allah. What's the use of that? So after doing a good action, Allah also must be pleased with it. And that a person will only know in the year after. So no one can have pride over his actions. And then the third thing is, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Regarding my children, make them good for me, beneficial for me, a means of benefit for myself. So my children, make them pious. إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Oh Allah, I've turned towards you and I'm amongst the obedient ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person, Allah will accept the du'as of these people, Allah will forgive their sins, and they will be amongst the people of Jannah, those who make this du'a. So it is a very great virtues. Try to learn this dua, inshallah, and we should try to recite it. رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The 15th verse of Surah Ahqaf. So anyhow, Allah Ta'ala says there are two kinds of children. One child is making dua for his parents and he's got concern, and the other one is telling his parents, oof to you, and he's disrespectful. So, and logically a person will say the first one is a good child and the second one is a useless, and he must be destroyed and must be punished and he must be banished. So similarly, those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has done so much of favors upon them, it's logical only they must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something which is completely illogical. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says another example is Qawm Aad. When Allah ta'ala sent Hud alayhi salatu wasalam to them, they were not prepared to accept. The clear proofs came to them and they actually asked for the punishment. They were saying, we're waiting for the punishment to come down. So the person's mind becomes so warped. And then when they saw the punishment coming, the clouds coming, they said, they thought this was rain coming down. But actually it was the punishment which he had been asking for. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely destroyed them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if a person wants to accept, it can be like a jinn also. The jinnat, they, when they heard the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, immediately they said, let us listen properly to the message. And they humbled themselves and they went back to their people as warners, and they called them towards Iman and Islam. So a person like a jinn, who normally are regarded as very arrogant, they are prepared to accept when they heard the message. So, oh insan, human beings, to a greater extent, we have to accept the call. And if you are not accepting it, it shows this is because of your arrogance and the pride within yourself. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the success now will be in following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There won't be any other way. And if they are not prepared to accept, then they must wait for the punishment of Allah ta'ala, like how it came in the past nations. The next surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the punishment. Now this is an amazing thing. In the past ummah, Allah ta'ala would send a punishment down and the nation will be completely destroyed. For the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was Allah's kindness that Allah ta'ala did not want to send a heavenly punishment down and destroy the people. So the punishment took a different form. The punishment in this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the form of jihad. That Allah ta'ala said, now jihad is established in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I won't send a general punishment and destroy everyone. But through the means of jihad, the O Nabi alayhi salam, you must attack the people. So there are two benefits in here. The one benefit is that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is rahmatul lil alameen. So the amount of people who will be killed will be very minimal. Many of them will get hidayat and they will come towards Islam. Whereas in the past nations, when the punishment came down, everyone was destroyed. And here we know in Islam, Battle of Badr, Uhud took place. After that, how many people accepted Islam? Those who fought against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Until today's time, many people accept Islam. When jihad takes place, they are on the other side. Many of them accept. Many years ago when we were in Pakistan in Jamaat, we met one brother. He was took part in the Gulf War against they came to Saudi and they were fighting against Iraq that time. So he accepted Islam and he explained amongst their people, just living in Saudi and seeing the Muslim people, so many of them accepted Islam. And eventually laws had to be made against them that they must not accept, they mustn't go meet the Muslim people. Whenever they meet the Muslim people asking them about Islam, then they are getting hidayat and they are getting encouraged towards Islam. So anyhow, this brother joined us and eventually he came and he studied in Madrasa Zakaria. He became alim also. So many people in today's time also, by the barakat of jihad also, the people when they go to fight, the non-Muslims, when they see the beauty of Islam, they accept Islam. So that is why Allah Ta'ala made this. And the second benefit the ulama say is that those who have been attacked and oppressed, then at least somehow their feelings, they were taking a bit of revenge, they'll be allowed to take so. When they were punished the kuffar and enemies. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so in this surah, he mentions all of this in detail about jihad. And then Allah said, there will be two groups amongst you people. Some of you will be successful and victorious, and some of you will pass away and you'll become shaheed also. But what Allah has kept for you in the year after is far, far greater. Allah has kept jannat, gardens flowing beneath their rivers. And the kuffar and disbelievers, they are just enjoying their lives and eating like how animals are eating in this world. But the final result will be the fire of jahannam. They will be completely destroyed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah mentions, and then there will be one group amongst the believers who will not want to make jihad. This is the munafiqin and hypocrites. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualities of the hypocrites in the surah, that what is in their heart and all of the qualities Allah ta'ala mentions. And then at the ending also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that success will be following Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You follow Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, you'll be successful. And this worldly life is just a few days of play and enjoyment and pastimes. So don't become deceived by it. Spend your wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu al-ghaniyu wa antumul fuqara. If you are spending your lives and your wealth in the path of Allah, remember Allah is independent. He doesn't need you. If you want to keep it for yourself, you keep it. Allah will choose another nation. Wa inta tawallu istabdil qawman ghayrakum. Allah said, Allah is wealthy and you people are in need. You people are poor. If you turn away, Allah will change you to another nation besides you. Summa la yakunu amsalakum. They won't be like you people. And the ulama have given an example throughout the centuries how Allah Ta'ala took the khidmat of deen from different groups, different places. First it was in Makkah Mukarramah, the Medina Munawwara. Deen was accepted from there. Then it went to this country. Then it went to that country. Different places in the world Allah Ta'ala accepted. Allah Ta'ala's deen is independent. It doesn't need any group. If some people leave it out, Allah will use other people. So it's up to us that whether I want to put myself forward for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't want to put ourselves forward, Allah will use other people. In one country it was said that 1 million people became murtad. They left the fall of Islam. Because of atheistic doubts or whatever. But in the same time, in the same country, they found 1 million people accepted Islam. So Allah Ta'ala replaced those people. So Allah would replace us. Allah is not in need of us. So anyhow, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions this in Surah Muhammad, the importance of jihad. and that how this is a punishment from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the kuffar and disbelievers, and the believers will be successful if they will follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Surah Fatah, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that sometimes this victory will take place in this very world. Allah's help and assistance will be with you. When you will follow Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, even though outwardly it seems that you are running at a loss, but you follow Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, you put your full trust in him, you see how Allah's help will come to you. So in Hudaybiyah, where the Muslims couldn't understand that Nabi alayhi salam is signing the pact, the treaty with the kuffar and disbelievers, and it seems everything is against the Muslims. But anyhow, they accepted. Sami'ana wa ta'ana, we hear and obey. It was very, very difficult upon them. A great person like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, who had so much of doubt, he went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr removed his doubts, and then he went to first Nabi alayhi salam, then to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He still was worried. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they were not prepared to cut the hair off. They were too grief stricken until eventually Nabi alayhi salam cut his hair. It shows how much of parashani they were, and they felt that this is a disgrace for us. But because they followed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the same thing which was outwardly a means of disgrace, Allah made it a means of honor for them. So when they were there, after the Hudaybiyah had taken place, and they were leaving now, Allah said, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina." You followed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we have given you a complete and open victory. And the Sahaba said, we saw this, that now in 2 years, when the Sahaba went, 1,400 of them went to Makkah Mukarramah for that Umrah. And 2 years later, now 10,000 of them go and conquer Makkah Mukarramah. How Allah Ta'ala made it such in a short while, how many people accepted Islam? Because they had followed the advice of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They went against their own nafs, their own desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah mentions that how the people of Iman, they went towards Hudaybiyah and how they remained steadfast. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked them to take bayat at his hands under the tree. And they were prepared to take bayat and to give their lives also. It's a very long detailed incident. And there were some munafiqs and hypocrites who didn't go with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah speaks about them also. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Sahaba radiallahu anhum with great accolades. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. He also, the ulama have mentioned an amazing point, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the Hudaybiyah, in the treaty, when he wrote that Muhammad Rasulullah, this treaty is from Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. So they said, no, you're not the Rasul of Allah. You are Muhammad ibn Abdullah. If you are Muhammad Rasulullah, we should have also, if we accepted that, then there was no need to write this treaty. Then you are the Rasul of Allah. But you are Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So Sahaba were very parashan and worried. They said, we're not going to scratch out Rasulullah. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, even though he was unlettered, he went and he erased it. And then he made him write Muhammad the son of Abdullah. So anyhow, the kuffar wanted to erase the name of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So the ulama said that Allah wrote it in the Quran, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Till Qiyamah it will be written down that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. No one can erase that. When a person, for Allah's pleasure, he sacrificed his name, Allah Ta'ala kept his name shining till the day of Qiyamah. So Allah said, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then Allah mentioned about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, those who stayed in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had the ma'iyat. Ma'iyat means the suhbat. He stayed in with Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Allah said, أَشِدَّاهُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارُ رُحَمَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ. They were very severe against the kuffar, and they had love amongst themselves. حُبْ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. This is the highest level of Iman. So the Iman was perfect. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا. All of the time we will see them in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Islam was perfect. And يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They were seeking the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. Ikhlas, Ihsan. They have reached the highest levels of Islam. Our deen is based on three things: Iman, Islam and Ihsan. So all of these qualities were found to the highest level in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them in the Quran Sharif regarding this. And Allah said, not only in the Quran, in the past also we praised them, in the past kitabs, and till the day of Qiyamah in the Quran Sharif they will be praised. So this was the honor given to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum because of the suhbat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the obedience which they had given to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So anyhow, Allah ta'ala mentioned this in great detail in this surah, that how victory was given to them by following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentions that if you want success, then the adab and etiquette of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, obedience to him also, and respect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and amongst ourselves also the respect we must have, and the unity we must have amongst ourselves, and love which we must have amongst ourselves, because otherwise the enemies will try to cause harm to the Muslims because of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off the surah with the respect which was be given to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that do not go in front of Nabi Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, don't have your own opinion whenever they have mentioned. Don't raise your voice above the voice of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How you speak to yourselves, amongst yourselves, don't speak to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam like that. Otherwise it can happen because of bi'adabi and disrespect. And tahbata amalukum. All of your actions can be destroyed, whilst you don't even know so. The ulama say that, Hazrat Tamim rahmatullahi alayhi said, that bi'adabi at many times is worse than sinning. Sinning, a person feels regret and remorse. But in bi'adabi, it's because based on pride. Disrespect is based on pride. So sometimes because of disrespect, especially for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a person doesn't realize it, he loses his iman also. And all of his actions will be destroyed. He doesn't even know so. Allah says, those who lower their voices by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah, they who show respect, Allah has tested their hearts and they've got taqwa inside them. Allah will forgive them and Allah has given them great, great rewards. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the believers, that how we should keep unity amongst ourselves, keep love amongst ourselves. If somebody comes with some incident, some story, then always verify it. كَفَى بِالْمَرِيِّ كَذِبًا أَيُّ حَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِيَ. It's sufficient to brand a person as a liar, that he speaks about whatever he hears, or he doesn't even verify, he doesn't find out. So always verify it, because it comes, if you don't verify it, and تُسْوِيبُ قَوْمًا بِجَهَالًا, you can attack somebody with ignorance, and thereafter a person will be regretting, why I did this, I didn't know, but he didn't verify it first. So verification is very important. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the two groups amongst believers are fighting, then try to make a sulah amongst them, try to create unity amongst them, because the believers are brothers amongst themselves. So whether it comes in our families, two brothers are not talking to one another, or whether it comes in two communities, like the Aus and Khazraj, they were fighting amongst themselves, Nabi al-Islam united and he brought them together, he removed whatever differences. So, or it comes in two countries also, in all of these matters, this ayat of the Quran Sharif applies, like in today's time, if Pakistan and Afghanistan are fighting, so now the Muslims must get together and see what is the problem and try to create unity amongst them. Otherwise their enemies are laughing and they will cause harm to us like this year, and they will be attacking us and we are fighting amongst ourselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions six commands that when we do this year, then we won't have fighting amongst ourselves. Normally, why does a person fight? Number one is, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. Don't mock one another. When you start mocking, it creates enmity and hatred amongst the people. Because perhaps the other people are better than you. How can you mock them? And similarly, Allah says, women mustn't mock other women, because perhaps they are better than them. So here Allah addressed the men separately and the women separately. Don't mock one another. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not find faults with one another. Don't look for faults in a person. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. And do not call one another by name, titles. You give another person, oh Fasik, oh Sinner, oh whatever titles. Don't call a person, especially if a person has made Tawbah. Then how can a person even call him that name? Even if he made Zina, he committed whatever, don't now taunt him with that. Comes in the hadith, if you taunt somebody because of a wrong action they have done, then before you pass away from this world, Allah will make sure that you will do that guna, that you will fall into that sin. So if you see somebody, have mercy for him, make dua for him, make dua, Allah must take him out, but don't ever taunt him about it. Then Allah says that do not have bad gumani and bad thoughts about one another. Some thoughts are right, but ishtanibu kathira min azan. Allah says stay away from many, many thoughts. Some thoughts are sinful, but still you must stay away from all the thoughts, bad thoughts. As Rakim Savage comes in Islaul Akhlaq, where he says that if a person has good thoughts about a person, he's getting sawab free of charge. And bad thoughts, you'll have to bring a proof on the day of Qiyamah. So until a person doesn't have a strong proof, and even if he sees something wrong in a person, try to justify that person, try to cover up for that person. Maybe he did like this. You saw him going to drink in a club. So you say, no, maybe he went to get water there. He went to make a phone call or something like that there. So try to justify, try to cover up for him. Look for excuses for that person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not spy on one another and do not make ghibat, backbiting. Because backbiting is like eating the flesh of your brother who is dead. How you dislike that, you must dislike backbiting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And then Allah ta'ala says that we have created you from one man and woman, and we have made different tribes amongst you people, lita'arafu, so you can recognize one another. The object is not so you may have pride and arrogance over one another. This pride is because it will create all of these other qualities. And Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayhi used to say that if you want to create unity amongst people, they mustn't have pride. As long as they are pride, two brothers, they'll never meet. I've got pride, arrogance. I don't want to meet with the other, my brother. He took some of my money. I'm not prepared to forgive him. So as long as the pride is there, when humility comes, then it'll be easy for a person to humble himself. He'll go to the other person, and then he'll create muhabbat and love amongst them. So that humility is a very great quality, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's two brothers, whatever way. We should have this quality of humility within ourselves. Allah give us tawfiq. Sometimes we have to overlook also, somebody has done us wrong, but we make him maaf, forgive him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give that person izzat and Allah will give that person honor. Allah give us true understanding. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this surah by mentioning that the bounty which Allah has given to you of iman and Islam is Allah's favor upon you, and not your favor upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have done Allah a favor by accepting Islam. The next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am testing your iman, I know your iman. Don't have any doubts regarding the Quran Sharif. So in this surah, Allah ta'ala mentions about doubts regarding Qiyamah and doubts regarding the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many of his proofs. And he says, finally, Allah knows everything, exactly what is in your heart. And at the time of death, the angels will come and take out your body and your soul. And then at that time, a person will see now, if he had doubts, what will be the harmful effects of it. And a person will never have doubts, what will finally be his result, where Allah will give him the enjoyments of Jannah. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا. Whatever they will desire in Jannah, they will have. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٍ. And much, much more greater we have got for the people in Jannah. Allah make us amongst those people. And Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَى. In the Quran Sharif, there is a lot of lessons for people. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. A person who's got a heart which is made, a heart of iman, he will take a lot of lessons from the Quran. If he hasn't got the heart made, then the second thing is أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. He must put his ears there and he must listen, try to understand it. My heart is not ready as yet, but you listen attentively, not like the munafiqin who just listen and passing it by. But they listen attentively with the intention of hidayat, then Allah will eventually give that person hidayat. Allah give us true understanding. And the last surah Zariyat, here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the final result, وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعُ. Whatever promises you have been given, O Nabi alayhi salam, in the surah before, it's a reality, it's going to happen. And the day of Qiyamah is going to take place, there will be recompense. For the people of evil who were liars, they will be destroyed. And the people of taqwa and piety, they will get the great gardens of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one speciality of them was that kanu qalilan min al-layli ma yaj'un, very little, but at night they would sleep. Most of the time they will be in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa bil asharihum yastaghfirun, but still at the time of sayri they are making istighfar, they are seeking forgiveness from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes in the kitabs of tafsir. The sahaba radiallahu anhu used to make 70 times istighfar after staying the whole night awake in tahajjud. And 70 times they would make istighfar. So easy way, after, if you're a person read tahajjud now in Ramadan, astaghfirullah, read it 7 times, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, 70 times. If you can't read 70, as Rakim Sahib rahmatullah, say at least read 3 times. Because they used to make istighfar, and the minimum of jama'ah is 3. So it's a minimum start of at least with 3 times, you make istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness. But if a person can reach the level of 70, it's the way of the sahaba and the tabi'in, etc. Allah Ta'ala give us true understanding.